This past Thanksgiving, I was truly blessed to be together with my whole family, wife and five children, as well as with my mom and my wife's parents, my niece and nephew, and their children. Just being present with them gave me great joy. As my own children grow older and more and move out of their on their own, it becomes harder and harder to be together. I'm aware that not everyone has the blessing of being able to get together with their families. And for some, they may not even have what they consider a family. To those who feel that they do not have a family, remember that you are considered family here at the San Diego Japanese Christian Church. Look around at your brothers and sisters. For some, the holiday season can be a difficult time, especially for those who miss the presence of their loved ones. This could be true for those who have lost their loved ones. This could be true for those who have a family member who is on deployment with the military. It could also be true for those who may have a family member who is in prison. I pray that whatever your difficulty may be during this holiday season, that we as the San Diego Japanese Christian Church can be a source of comfort and encouragement to you. This Christmas will be the second year in which my dad will not be with my family since he passed away. Yet, it is interesting. I feel that he is still with us. This sentiment has been shared by other church members. This past November 19th, on the one-year anniversary of my dad's passing, some of my dad's friends came together for a memorial gathering. During the sharing time, several of them said, "It doesn't seem like he is gone. It still seems like he is still with us." From this experience, I came to realize that the presence of a person does not necessarily have to be physical. It can be a sense of that person's presence. Because of the sense of my dad's presence, although I miss him, I don't feel much sorrow. I find comfort in knowing his love for me and that he is with God in heaven. I believe that all of us need the presence of others in our lives, especially the presence of our loved ones, in order to feel secure and loved. In the Bible, it is the presence of God that is sought after the most. This is especially true because there is no greater security and love that one can experience than to be with God. The Bible begins in Genesis with God creating the universe and also creating mankind. God was very present in his creation. God walked in the Garden of Eden. God was present in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. The Bible also tells us of what we call the fall, when Adam and Eve sinned, and thus their relationship with God was damaged. They were no longer to enjoy being with God in the Garden of Eden. The loss of God's close presence is what brought great sorrow and pain to Adam and Eve. Ever since then, the descendants of Adam and Eve, that is all of us, have yearned for God's presence. It is an inner yearning based on a vacuum that we all have in our heart. The 17th century mathematician, philosopher, and theologian Blaise Pascal put it this way: "What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? But there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him, seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help." since this infinite abyss can be filled only with an infinite and immutable object. In other words, by God Himself. Because of this so-called God-shaped vacuum that is in the heart of all of us, I believe all of us in varying degrees experience loneliness and isolation. Thus, throughout the Bible, we read about people seeking God, that is, His presence. The Bible makes it clear that God is spirit, and thus we cannot see Him, and yet His presence can be known and experienced. And it is His presence that those mentioned in the Bible often longed for and sought after. Yet we read in the Bible that not everyone truly sought God. In fact, we see that some people despised God and even denied His existence. This doesn't seem much different from the world we live in today. However, we see that throughout the pages of the Bible, that the presence of God truly gives comfort and blessings, and those who sought to walk with God were able to do so. We read about Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and many others in the Old Testament who had a close relationship with God. In the Exodus account of the Israelites leaving Egypt and heading to the Promised Land, we see how God's presence was with them, guiding and protecting them through the pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. Whenever someone needed encouragement, it was God's promise of Himself being with them that brought them courage and peace. Joshua is an example of this, where God told him, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And throughout the Old Testament, we see how the Israelites, in the midst of defeat, subjugation, persecution, deportation, and exile, continued to seek God's presence and deliverance. The people of Israel received prophecies, God's promises of a Messiah to come. They understood this Messiah to be sent by God with the power to save them from their enemies and to establish a righteous and peaceful kingdom. What they did not understand, however, was that the Messiah was actually going to be God Himself, the Son of God. Not only that, the Son of God was to come into this world to save not just the people of Israel, but the whole world. In Isaiah 7:14, the coming Messiah was described in this manner. "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel." At that specific time when this prophecy was given, this was a word of encouragement to King Ahaz to trust in God rather than his own plans to thwart the imminent danger they were in. Their response to that danger is recorded for us in this manner. "When it was reported to the house of David saying, 'The Arameans have camped in Ephraim,' his heart and the hearts of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake with the wind." Thus, God instructed the prophet Isaiah to take his son Shear-Jashub, which means a remnant shall return, and meet Ahaz at a strategic water source for Jerusalem. Isaiah was sent by God to assure the king not to fear his enemies and that the evil that was planned against them would not materialize. Yet, this was not just a word of encouragement, but a challenge. A challenge to believe this promise of God and to trust Him. Now Ahaz was left with a decision to make. Would he trust that God was with him and would protect Jerusalem? Or would he reject God's promise and try to handle things on his own? This is where the words of Isaiah 7:14 come into the picture. God commanded the king to ask him for a sign that he would indeed do what he had promised. However, Ahaz refused to ask for a sign because he had already made up his mind to reject God's promise. He did not want God to confirm that he would protect his kingdom. A sign from God would only prove that his own plan was contrary to God's will. We thus see God's stern words through the prophet Isaiah against Ahaz in the following response. Then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." In spite of Ahaz's lack of faith in God, God, who was the real king over Israel, gave Ahaz and the house of David a sign that he was with his people, even though the king refused to ask for one. Thus, there had to be an immediate expression of this sign at that particular time, though we do not know how specifically this came to be. However, more importantly, it pointed to a future fulfillment that God indeed was with his people. Sadly for King Ahaz and his kingdom, Assyria invaded Syria and Israel in 733 to 732 BC, only a year or two after this prophecy, because they didn't put their trust in God. In the gospel account of Jesus' birth in Matthew 1:18 through 25, this prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 is mentioned as being ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I want to read from Matthew 1:18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." In writing the account of Jesus' birth, Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood that the supernatural conception of Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. In this passage, we see how Joseph had to trust God in regards to the reason for Mary's pregnancy, especially since he himself was not responsible for it. We see how an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph through a dream, explaining the miraculous work of God in the conception of a child in Mary's womb, and also how this child was no ordinary child, but was to save his people from their sins. Matthew pointed to Isaiah 7:14 as being fulfilled in the birth of this child named Jesus, and that unlike King Ahaz, both Mary and Joseph put their trust in God and obeyed him. Emmanuel is more of a title than a name as it refers to Jesus. It refers to both his deity, that is God, and his identification and nearness to us, that is with us. Even though it was not one of Jesus' proper names, as we do not see Jesus being called Emmanuel at any time in the gospel accounts, it accurately described him, who he was. The aspect of God becoming man and being with us, or dwelling among us, is captured in the following words by John in his gospel account of Jesus' coming. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. As mentioned already, God is spirit, and therefore no one could see him. However, Jesus' coming was both tangible and visible. He was both present spiritually and physically. He was indeed God present in our midst. Here lies the great joy of Christmas. It lies in the fact that we believe in a present Messiah, who we know to be Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. So how does the fact of God's presence in Jesus' coming impact us? Knowing that the Son of God chose to come to this earth in the lowliest manner should humble us. He chose to be laid in a manger. He chose to live in a workman's home. He chose to wear the commonest of clothing and eat simple food. If so, we too should learn to live humbly. Knowing Jesus' abiding presence should make us live bravely. As the Apostle Paul declared in Romans 8:31 through 32, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" If we know that God is with us, then no temptation is too strong to be conquered, and no difficulty is too hard to overcome. Knowing Jesus' abiding presence should make us be good towards each other. If Jesus came and took on human flesh to serve and even to die to save us all, then we should look upon one another with respect as wearing the same flesh which Jesus wore. We should serve and love one another as Jesus did. Such is the blessing of God's presence. The greatest present to us by God is indeed his enduring presence in our lives. Listen to Jesus' words to his disciples before he ascended back to heaven from where he came. In Matthew 28:20, to the end it says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He has promised to always be with those who are his disciples, even to the end of the age, till the very end of our time here on this earth. However, the blessing of God's presence does not end there. Because of Jesus' coming and his presence in our lives, we will be with him forever. Jesus told his disciples about the fact that not only did he come to be with them as Emmanuel, but that he will come again to take them to be with him forever in heaven. "Do not let your heart be troubled," Jesus said. "Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If this does not give you security and sense of God's love, then I don't know what will. At the beginning of my sabbatical, I attended a pastor's conference at Point Loma Nazarene University. At that conference, I learned about emotional intelligence and cultural intelligence. As a side note, it doesn't make me very intelligent, but anyways. 横のことです。だからといってすごく賢くなったわけではないんですけども。Going into my sabbatical, I was quite emotionally drained. And I knew I needed some time to reflect and self-evaluate and heal and be renewed. Because of time, I will not go into details of what emotional intelligence and cultural intelligence are. But here are some things that I learned from the seminar on emotional intelligence. To be emotionally healthy, I need to be self-aware of my response to what is going on around me and to intentionally seek to be a part of what God is doing and to be present for others. What I want to develop is a non-anxious presence in the midst of all that is going on around me. I bring this up because as much as I want to impress upon you that the greatest present that we have is God's presence, I want us to remember and live out the fact that the greatest present we can give is our presence. However, I am not talking about just being physically present. I can be in the same room with someone, or even be sitting across from a person having a conversation and still not be present with them. Do you ever have that problem? You are somewhere, but you are really not there. You are not living in the present moment, but your thoughts are elsewhere. So my challenge for you this Christmas is to prayerfully seek God's leading and jot down the following on your gift or present list. I will be present for, and whomever that person may be. As noted at the beginning of this message, there are plenty of people this Christmas who are missing the presence of loved ones. What better gift to give to these people than yourself sharing God's presence with them in Jesus? We can do so with humility, courage, respect, and love because of Jesus' abiding presence in our own lives. This does not have to be just with someone outside of your family. Perhaps you need to recommit yourself to be truly present with your family during this Christmas season. So in closing, I want to give two invitations. First of all, I want to give an invitation to those of you who do not know and have not experienced God's greatest gift to you of His presence through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus has already come into this world over 2,000 years ago, but He is alive and present with us today. He wants you to enjoy Him now, and He wants you to be with Him forever. If you would like to receive Jesus into your life, then I invite you to stand up where you are. If you're watching online, you could stand up in your living room or wherever you are. But I want to pray with you and for you. I also have one more invitation. I want to give an invitation to those of you who have been absent from those who you love. Perhaps you have been busy, distracted, lazy, or selfish. Perhaps you have been emotionally drained and unable to care much for yourself and even less for others. Remember that Jesus is with you. And he wants you to fully rest in his love for you. He also wants you to be his salt and light in this world, so that others may know and experience him through you. If you would like to commit yourself to be present for others and be God's instrument of making his presence known, then I invite you to stand up where you are. I would also like to pray with you and for you. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we are so grateful for your love for us and for sending your Son, Jesus. 愛する父なる神様、まず第一に私たちは神様の愛を感謝します。そしてそのゆえに自分の御子、イエス様をこの地上に送ってくださり感謝いたします。Father, we thank you that you meet our deepest need. 神様は私たちの最も必要としているものにことを私たち満たしてくださり感謝いたします。And that is being with us.それは私たちと共にいてくださることであります。And we thank you that we can receive you, your Son Jesus, into our hearts and our lives. そしてそのイエス・キリストを私たちの心の内に、私たちの命の中に受け入れられることを心から感謝いたします。And we thank you that that is an abiding presence. そしてその臨在は共にいつもいてくださるものでありますから感謝します。And it is an eternal presence. そして永遠なるものであることを感謝いたします。Father, that you will come into the lives of those who are desiring to have you come into their lives right now. 今、イエス様を自分の人生のうちに、心のうちに受け入れたいと思う方々のうちに、どうか神様が働きかけてください。Father, also we pray that your presence, Lord, that we have, that we can make that known to other people. そして神様、共に私たちのうちに働けるおられる神様が私たちを通してまた他の人たちに働きかけてください。Father, we want to offer ourselves to you to be your instruments of righteousness. 私たち自身を神様に捧げ、神様の本当に義なるものとして働きかけられるように助けてください。Father, people are hurting. 多くの人々は本当に心を痛んでいます。Father, give us the eyes to see these people. これらの方々を私たちが見ることができますように。And give us the compassion to reach out in love. そして本当に私たちが憐れみを持って愛を持ってその人たちを見ることができ、また手を差し伸べることができますように助けてください。And we pray that this Christmas that we will all experience your presence in our lives. そしてこのクリスマスどうか本当に神様の臨在を私たち一人一人が本当に経験することができますように。There is no greater joy. それより素晴らしい喜びはありません。There is no greater love. それより素晴らしい愛はありません。Thank you, God, for coming and to be with us. 神様、私たちのもとに来て、共にいてくださることを心から感謝いたします。We pray this in the name of Jesus Emmanuel. これらのことをイエス・キリスト・インマニュエルの御名によってお祈りいたします。Amen. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. 仰ぐ声願わくは、我らの主イエス・キリストの恵み、父なる神の愛、そして聖霊の交わりが私たちと共に今もとこしえもあらんこと。アーメン。